This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to another episode of the number one AFC Wimbledon podcast, the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. My name is Lee Finch. I am joined by the one and only Danny Baker. Tonight, we're going to be discussing the Swindon game. Then we're going to move on and see if the is it better staying in League Two? We're going to discuss the WOD Awards. So the WOD Awards are going to be the Player of the Year, the Young Player of the Year, our Moment of the Year, Best Sign in the Year, Worst Sign of the Year. We're also going to do Biggest Disappointment, and the one key lesson that we've learned this season. We might do another award of who you think is the WOD best, the best WOD, me, Danny or Joe. We'll put that out on social. So we know I'm not going to win because everyone goes against me no matter, even if they thought I was the best.
Just give it to Joe now.
Yeah, work experience award. Tranmere, we'll preview the Tranmere game and that's pretty much us today. So let me welcome, his voice was over me there a minute ago, it is Danny Baker. How are we, Danny? You good?
You can't hold me back, Lee. You cannot hold me back this time of year. I'm back at school, cricket season. I mean, I can't be stopped. I'm a train that cannot be stopped.
Cricket season. I saw someone went to cricket the other day. There must have been about 10 people at the Oval. Yeah, wicked.
Why
are you playing cricket in April when the weather's really bad?
Oh, bore off, mate.
No cricket gets played. It's cricket season. Not for another couple of months because the weather's so bad at the moment.
It is the game of gentlemen. It does take a while. There are lots of matches, lots of formats. All of this, though, is over your skinny little bonds. So don't let it worry you.
I don't mind a bit of quick cricket.
Of course you don't. A bit of French cricket.
They should bring quick cricket out. You know, like darts has gone mad. Paul's coming back a little bit. Bring a bit of quick cricket. Get the ultras, pyro in the stands.
Bit of Jiminy cricket.
So anyway, I want to speak to you about something, right?
All right, go on then. So what have I done now?
Well, I'm going away this weekend. I'm not at Tranmere. I'm off.
I'm going to show off about it.
So I'll be able to watch it actually officially this time. Well, hopefully. I'll take my fire stick with me.
What do you mean officially?
See if I can watch it in a bar in...
You're not watching it in Ludwig's Lufthansa?
Beer house.
Beer house, sorry, yeah. Beer house.
Yeah. So I'm off to Holland on Friday to see Roda JC. Big game. Then I'm off to Dusseldorf to see Fortuna Dusseldorf. Then a couple of non-league ones, Sparta Bilk and Turu Dusseldorf, as I do every year. Love it. But my thing, question I've got for you is, so I'm flying with Ryanair. Dirt cheap, just to book. That's
nice. Just get there and get it.
No bags. We've got a small bag. I don't know how I'm going to fit everything in my small bag. So it's got to fit under the seat. No priority boarding. Priority boarding is the biggest con in the aviation industry. Absolute joke. Because everyone pays for it now, except for me. Right, so you go there, speedy boarding. There's about 20 people, 50 people, and then they go through to the holding gate, and then they let everyone else in, and you're all in just queuing in one place. People last year, we booked speedy boarding. Some people try to get in front of us. Say, excuse me.
Oh, damn, dude. I think
$25.99 for this. Get back. Or the worst one is you pay Speedy Boarding and they put you on a bus altogether. So then when you get off the bus, it's whoever's closest to the door.
What are we doing here?
Yeah. And the other one is paying for a seat. So I was paying seat roulette today and I got stitched up.
Ooh.
So what we did is you
leave it. Who are you sitting next to? Which one of your mates have you got?
No, none of us. So you leave it as long as possible because you think if you could do, you can hopefully get the better seats, which are the extra leg room or front or right at the back.
Right. Which
made to get off. So I kind of went on, panicked a little bit, boom, checked this in. So three of my mates are behind each other.
How many of you are going, by the way?
Five.
Okay, yeah.
So three are together, middle seats, but they're right at the front. They're like, their seats were worth 14 quid. They've stuck me at the back, right at the back, 9 quid seat, in the middle seat. I did have two people next to me. I don't know if they saw my name appear, but they've now gone. Now I've got a row on my own at the moment.
Oh, go on, son.
And one of my mates, lucky enough, he's got the aisle, but then he's about 40 stone and needs one of them extenders. So have you ever played seat roulette?
I've never even heard of it, to be honest with you. I mean, I haven't been on a Ryanair in ages. My stag do days are kind of, unfortunately, a little bit behind me.
I like Ryanair, I don't mind him.
I haven't, to be honest with you, I haven't really flown in ages. So how many, I've not played seat roulette, but my question was, how many different countries now have you watched football?
Quite a few. Holland,
all domestic or internationals?
A couple of internationals in there.
Okay.
Slovakia, international.
Yeah.
I ain't been to that many. I watched a lot in cities, but not in, like, Germany. I've been to, like, Berlin. Yeah. I've been to Munich.
Stuttgart, something like that.
Dusseldorf, Cologne. Do you know what I mean? So that's four cities. Yeah. Frankfurt.
So you haven't been to loads of different countries, but you have been multiple times to Germany to watch German.
I love German. If you've never been to Germany to watch football, go and do it. It is wicked. It's amazing. So, like,
what is it they're so good about German football?
Just the culture.
Or watch, not German football, but watching football in Germany, if that makes sense.
So last year we went to watch Borussia Dortmund. Jude Bellingham scored down our end.
Yeah.
They thought they were going to win. That's when they should have won the league. This is the thing about everyone saying about Bayern Munich not winning it this year. Saying, to be fair, they should have lost it last year. They were rubbish last year, only because Dortmund absolutely bottled it last game of the season. But it's the best football experience I've ever had, going to watch Borussia Dortmund last year. Getting on the train with all the Dortmund fans, they were all in high spirits. Everyone was chatting, having a beer. It was just brilliant. The atmosphere was brilliant. Jude Bellingham scoring in front of us, coming over, doing the Bellingham in front of me. Me and him had a little moment.
I love that from you.
And it was just the whole culture, the ultras in the wall behind, in front of us, the flares, the smoke bombs. I know people go mental about it. Yeah, I've got asthma. I'm pretty get a complaint about it.
You will.
The pyros, it's just wicked. Like, I don't get in Europe, they can have, like, literally set their stand on fire. No one ever gets hurt. And we bitch about a little bit of smoke. It's brilliant. I'm not a big fan of the big flags.
Yeah.
Because I want to see the game, and then you've got some geezer waving a massive flag in your face.
Yeah, that would annoy me, yeah.
It is a bit annoying. But yeah, the atmosphere, the beer, yeah, love it. Love it. I'm drinking, there's a beer I want to try this weekend. It's a cola beer mix.
A cola beer mix?
Yeah. Yeah, it's big out there.
Cola beer. Finches.
No, what is it? I'm just getting a picture of it. Mixia. Mixie, beer X cola. You also got, someone else recommended, banana beer. And, so it's banana weizen or cola weizen. And they sell it's banana beer, Dan.
So wow.
I'll be giving that a try, and I'll let you know next week what I think about it. But yeah, the whole culture, Germany's a wicked place. If you've never been out there, I know we've got our history with the Germans, but they're wicked people. And they're really friendly. Every time I've been out there, so friendly. Love it. Love the English. We always have a bit of a discussion about football, Germany and England and stuff. It's always good fun, yeah.
Oh, check you out. Yeah, I've obviously watched a little bit of international football, but that I haven't seen much. Yeah, I've done that, basically. But
I'm really looking forward to we're going Friday night. We're going to see Roda JC. They're second in the league, chasing promotion to the Eredivisie. The team they're playing are like fifth, who are chasing to get in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They're 3 points off top. They're 3 points from third place, who they play last game. So it's a big game on Friday night. And I'm looking forward to seeing my first Dutch game. Like, I've been to Holland to watch international football. Went to watch England play Holland when it was 2-2. I think it was 2-2. But we had Ricketts and, what's his name, Vassell as the two main strikers up front for England that night. So that was poor. That, see how bad that was. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to that game. I'm looking forward to the atmosphere. And also, I like to try the football food. I'm not going to call it scran. I'm not an idiot.
No, but you're not a scrantastic.
The football food, I'm looking forward to trying. I always try to. So I'm a big curryverse man. I love a sausage at a football game. And yeah. And it's really weird out there in these like Germany and Holland and stuff. They have a big fat sausage that don't fit in the bun.
Yeah.
And also they have like a sausage with a slice of bread and then just sauce. Like the bread's not got no butter on it or anything. It's just a dry piece of bread, a big fat sausage, and then like mayonnaise and ketchup and a bit of mustard maybe.
Wow. Well, while we're here, I wanted to catch up with you about the FA Cup. Big news today.
Yes, mate.
No replays. I won't lie, it split the camp at work.
Really?
Obviously, a lot of them are. Yeah, the reason being is...
Do they go watch football live?
Well, our office, we've got a few rugby guys, but the main football lot are Chelsea fan, who is basically like, whatever, don't care. Like, we should just finish it on the day. Lad who coaches Dorking Wanderers. He says that Mark White is absolutely fuming.
Yeah, I've seen
at
that.
The fact of it.
He done a video today, didn't he? Go watch it if you haven't seen it.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Me, who I kind of... I'm a bit torn on it, really, if I'm honest with you. And then the lad who's obviously the assistant manager of Chipstead, he was like, that will really, really hurt the lower league teams. It's that balancing act, I guess, isn't it? Is that the higher up the pyramid you are, if we are, as an example, playing against anybody, the reality is... The best chance you've got of winning against most teams is playing them once. So, for instance, if we're playing a team who are better than us, we want a one-gamer, really, to have any chance of winning if that's our primary objective. If you're Horsham playing against us, you don't really want to do replays apart from the financial incentive. So it's kind of that balance between the financial bit and the actual chance of going through.
It's very rarely
that a lower league team will take a team to a replay and then beat them. I mean, you'd almost have to be better than them twice, really.
I totally get what you mean, because we had Cheltenham, didn't we, at home this year, who were a league above us.
Yeah.
And the worst thing that you would think was, if we draw this game, we've got to go Cheltenham on a Tuesday night for a replay. More games and stuff like that. I kind of get it from that point of view, but then you can't be choosy and pick and choose. Like if you get Arsenal and you get them at home and you think, well, if we get a draw, we get them back at Highbury, we get them back at the Emirates, we can make shed loads of money. Same as like if you get Spurs.
You're right.
I just think for the lower league, I think for the non-league teams, they have a real big chance. The lower league, even us as low as League Two, have a chance of getting a draw or beating these teams at your state. The problem is stadiums have changed a lot. It ain't like the old days when the pitches were rough. You get Arsenal come down and used to a carpet.
Cold and that sort of nonsense.
That still happens. You get a carpet pitch, but the pitch now, like across the levels, are really good, even down at non-league level. I just think we've got to stop being dictated to by the Premier League, who don't even enter until round three anyway. So I think most people think it's a joke, like, because as I said, they don't even enter the first two rounds. So why have they changed it to the first and second round? Maybe third round, people would have gone, well, I can see why, but. And I think Sam Elliott makes a good point, is why not just say the teams that are in Europe, which is only, what, five teams, six teams are in Europe, don't enter or don't have replays if you get that team.
No, but you can't do that. You can't have...
Well, yeah, but that's like some games in cup games, you've got VAR going on because the stadiums can access.
And for me, that's a nonsense as well.
But this is what I mean. This is what the top... And it's people like, I'm so glad Jurgen Klopp's fucking off. Really am, because he's doing when he first come in, he was
might
like,
be at Roda on the weekend.
I liked him. I thought he was good, but all he's done is moan about these extra games when most of these teams are going off on end of season tours before the Euros. I think I can't remember it is Man U, Liverpool, Arsenal, one of them are going off to an end of season tour. Do you know what I mean? Playing games after the season's finished. And then they moan. And you don't hear them moaning about the European games and how many extra they've got to play in that next year. Do you know what I mean? And Jurgen Klopp's all he done, and Pep, they've come in and just tried to change the English game. And I hate it. If you don't like it, go back to Germany, go back to Spain, have your winter breaks, have it how it is. I'm not going over there the weekend going, you should do this. Why, you know what I mean? Why did you play this way? Why did you do that? No, you come to England, you play in the English league. And as I said, I think the replays are are big things for the lower league.
So, are you supportive? Do you think that we should keep them?
Yes.
Or not?
Because the they mean more.
And for what reason?
Outweighs because the money that you can make getting a replay.
It's primarily about the money.
If we say we played Arsenal at home, we'd make good money out of that.
Yeah.
And say we did nick a draw, which we probably wouldn't, but say we did.
Yeah,
we'd make Shedlow's going away, and we've got massive debt on our heads, right? Paying off this stadium, we need as much money as possible. So if you can get a draw, then brilliant. That's what 150 grand just from TV money. Do you know what I mean? Without a gate receipt.
Yeah, no. Listen, I get it. I see it on the other side of the shoe that if we were playing, I don't know, we were in round one next year, and we've got Halifax away or Halifax at home.
Yeah.
And then we draw it, we've got to go away. And the, for me, the difficulty with it, I'm actually for it, bizarrely, for no replays, solely because of the Johnson's paint or the Bristol City Motors nonsense. If you can get rid of it, then have replays as much as you like. But I don't think, I feel like one of our biggest challenges is that we really struggle with the volume of games and the squad size that we can afford to be competitive with bigger teams. And I feel like, yes, the money is important, but I still, I would have no replays, but I would say that you at the moment, I don't think you can switch the venue. I'd have it that you can switch it. So Man United,
why are you changing it, Dan? Why are you changing the whole of football again?
Because if you want the money, that's my trade-off.
But then that's never been the case. So just keep it. Why do we keep fixing things that ain't broken?
Well, it isn't. It is broken.
What's broken about it? What was broken about replays? Because some of the Premier League top bodies...
Not the Premier League, take them out of it. A lot of the lower league teams, we don't have the squads to cope with it, mate. And then the fixture backlog and everything
bullshit.
Else, we're strong. We don't have the... We struggle massively with the personnel.
But then
teams
need to start using their squads. I don't think Johnny Jackson's used that. We'll come on to Swindon and stuff like that. We haven't used our squad well enough this year. We've absolutely overplayed Little, and you can tell it, right? Premier League clubs are the ones moaning the most. Well, I think we've played 60 games this season.
But the ones who have got the bigger squads. So
This is what annoys me the most when Man City and Chelsea's are moaning about more games, more games, more games. They're going on end-of-season tours, right? They're going all around the world on their pre-seasons. Maybe don't go to Asia. Maybe just go down to Cornwall, boys, right? And also, you've got 135 youth team players sitting in, you know what I mean? You're never going to play. You're hoping to get one out of them, right? Maybe you'll have to start using these massive squads that you've got on the best facilities that you've got in the world.
But they do that a lot, though, don't they? Like, a lot of the FA Cup has become seriously watered down because on a round three, Chelsea have got Colchester and nobody knows anybody who's playing.
But that's why replays are pivotal, because you then got a chance to beat Chelsea and take them home.
You've got more chance of beating Chelsea, though, on a one-off game.
I know
game
it's a League Cup. I'm
talking about having a replay.
Because this is the League Cup. But try telling Bradford that when they went to Chelsea and beat Chelsea 4-2.
But it wasn't a replay.
No, but what about if they've got the replay and stuff and then they didn't get... You know what I mean? You're going to these teams going, we ain't got a chance to beat these teams. The replays
but
are pivotal.
But the fact is, the replay doesn't give you a better chance if you're a low-league team. It reduces your chance. But what it does do is give you more money. So you either have more chance of success by having no replays, or you have more money by having replays. No, because you're playing Arsenal...
Why do you keep fixing football and it don't need to be fixed?
I'm not fixing it. I'm making
it clear. You were coming up with let's change venues. What were you going to do?
So
if Wembley FC get to round one, do they
Wembley
change...
FC, what league are they in?
They're not the Ryman Division 1 North.
Oh, okay.
Right, they get to round one and then they get round three and it's like, oh, you've drawn Arsenal. They're like, wicked, we can't have it at Wembley. We'll have it at Wembley Stadium because Danny Baker thinks it's good to move it.
If the clubs want to swap it and get 20
you play
times
it at
the
your
amount
ground,
of money...
That's why you're entering... If you're entering the FA Cup at that non-league level, that your ground should be able to host a decent...
But it's not about ability. Everyone can host it. It's just, it's mutually beneficial.
No.
If we want to, if we've got, we've got a debt, if we can go to play Newcastle and get 70,000 and earn $500,000 or play at home and earn 150, it's a no-brainer.
No. You play at
home, we've got more chance
of winning. Why change it? It's ridiculous. Mate, to be fair,
financially beneficial.
Football is absolutely screwed anyway. In a year, I'd say year or two's time, there will be Premier League games off into Saudi Arabia.
That's definitely going to happen.
Or into, because New York are building the first, the MLS. No, sorry, is it New York or the New York are building the first ever football stadium, their own football stadium.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Are they actually?
Yeah. That was announced today. That got planning.
Haven't they got the World Cup coming up there?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but the next one is after.
Do you know what I mean? Football's kicking off over there. I can see what the NFL do and bring two games over here. I reckon they'll go to the States.
I'm amazed they haven't done it already.
I think they will. And I think Saudi Arabia teams may even get Champions League football soon with the amount of money that they've got. And they've, you know what I mean? With
I think that will be a big changer.
And it's ridiculous. Anyway, but look at the handball rule. Absolute joke there. You could just smash it at someone's hand.
That's got nothing to do with FA Cup fixtures, is it?
No, but I'm talking about the way football screwed.
And the way football is screwed.
And you look like you're on the road to it being screwed even further. So that's up to you, Danny.
What? To keep people afloat?
Goodbye.
Having more teams
goodbye to football.
Above.
Anyway talking about keeping afloat.
That's normally my job. What you've done is you've taken my thunder. Talking about staying afloat, I take we're not afloat anymore in the playoff dream, Lee. Is that us then?
Good. It's about time. We'll talk about it in a bit anyway, but mate,
on,
how bad was it again, though? How about first 10 minutes, Swindon get the ball right at the back. The geezer miskicks it, you know, like one of them school ones where it touches his foot first and then he goes off right in the penalty area. Me and the boys were like, these lot of shit. Like, we have started okay. We should get a couple here. They are rubbish. We score. And then after that, I have no idea what our game plan was. I have no idea what our philosophy or our style of football is again. I've tried to be really, really positive the last few months with regard to Jackson and everything. But Saturday I was like, what the fuck are we doing here? What are we doing? It's ridiculous. We just get it and boot it. I've seen some people give Kelly a little bit of stick, and I think it's probably warranted on Saturday. I don't think he did enough. Don't think he run. But then we're just aimlessly hitting long balls. And this is, we've got the four at the back now. Okay, we're missing Curry. But the two centre-backs that come in were playing football when they first started for us. Reeves and Little look way off it. And we talk about squads not being used. We've overused both of them this year, and they both look shot. Nerfiel, attacking-wise, again, I'm a big fan of him defensively. Attacking-wise, I don't think he offers us anything. But the first 15 minutes when he was running it, and we thought, yeah, here we go, just went straight backwards again. Omar had a bad game, which is rare for him lately. But him and Kelly do not work up front. And we've just signed Omar up on a two-year deal. And I don't get why you spend close to 300 grand on a striker and you don't make him your pivotal striker and play the way that suits him. I don't get why we're playing this way, Danny. And it's been like this for what, four or five? Probably since Notts County we got away at then. But since then, it's been pretty bad. Every week we say, how bad is the football?
I think the thing for me is that is firstly, obviously, we started okay. The pitch was a bit lively, and obviously we had a few random touches here and there. And to get in the first half 1-0, you kind of feel like, oh my god, some of the other results were quite could we? And then we just imploded, and it's like the minute a team gets one, you almost again we're kind of playing for set pieces. I think it's just a frustration because what we were told, like, you know, we're going to give it a real go, we're going to attack, we're going to play to win. I just, like I said, it's just deja vu here. We're just having the same conversation we had last week, the week before. I don't think Kelly did nearly enough.
No, I agree with that.
Boogiel and him, I feel like they almost want to do the same job. I actually don't think Kelly wants to go in and behind. I think actually Kelly wants it a bit shorter and wants to link play up. And I think the biggest problem we have is we don't have an out-and-out top man, like a nine, a proper nine who wants to run in behind and be on the end of crosses. We just don't have that.
We also don't have that attacking flair in our midfield. Reeves don't have that attacking flair, nor does Little. They're both workhorse. Well, not Reeves ain't a workhorse. Little's a workhorse. He'll run around, he'll chase things down, he'll get it, give it. Reeves is a bit more of a conductor. You give it to him, he'll take his time. If we've got time on the ball, he'll give it. Do you know what I mean? He can throw balls through. His range of passing is wicked. but we haven't got the person who's going to go around a man and move them about a little bit.
Yeah,
and, do you know what I mean? We do not have that this season. And
we've
I think
two very unorthodox tens, haven't we, in terms of Kelly and Bugu, I think, are basically wanting to play in the same position or trying to play. And Bugu at times will drop deep and dribble. I haven't really seen Kelly do that because I think Kelly's been asked to play higher.
And this is why I said if we had kept Ali and Kelly, I think Kelly would have scored a couple of goals now. Because Ali would have been a number nine. He would have been working hard. And the problem I've got is people got to stop thinking that Ali and Kelly are the same player. They're not. They're two different players. He ain't going to do the work. And I think you're right.
No, they are.
People are now seeing that Kelly, maybe, yeah, you're right. He is more of a number 10 than the number nine, which is strange. And did we think that Bugle wasn't going to sign a contract? Bugle's just signed a new contract. Well, I told everyone on here he wasn't, which obviously I got a bit of stick for. But yeah, do understand that we have thrown a fair amount of money at him. So is that why he's now stayed? Because the money's decent. I think he'd done the same at Sutton, said he was going to leave. You know what I mean? Travelling was too much. I think and then we offered him a better contract. We've now offered him a better contract. I don't know if he's going to stay in Swindon. I hope not, because he keeps moaning about the travelling, then moved in. He is pivotal to what we do, but we're struggling with goals massively. And as I said, Johnny Jackson is really winding him up. The interview after the game really wound me up with him on Saturday, saying that he thought we were a better team. We had chances. I didn't think we were. I thought we were rubbish again. Alex Baker sent a tweet in regarding Jackson.
What, Bakes?
Yeah, old Baker boy.
Bakesy.
The proper Baker. He's about third or fourth in the league
not
table.
Baker's
so
dozen, yeah.
But he's, yeah, what was that, 12? He said, Johnny Jackson's interview after the game, he kind of threw some players. Was he throwing players under the bus? And was he having a slight dig at Craig Cope when he said that this squad, you know what I mean, he's got to move some players on probably, do you know what I mean? And the players that he's got at his disposal. Because I think Craig Cope's giving him a decent squad. And I speak to my mates. Some of my mates are still fuming with Johnny Jackson, still don't want him as our manager. Because this is a playoff team. I believe we should be up near the playoffs. We shouldn't be. I know people say, well, it's only two games and we just dropped out of them. We should, my opinion of other people are, we should be comfortably in the playoffs with this squad that we've had. Why are we playing such bad football with the players that we have?
I think that's probably.
Did you see the interview after?
No. I watched the game.
I stopped watching the interviews. They're so fucking. The interviews are so rubbish now. They ask really shit questions, and he always answers if he thought we'd done well on Saturday, then I don't know what game he's watching.
I think, to be honest with you.
And as I said, I've been back in Jackson. I have been, but he's really annoyed me the last few weeks.
I mean, we haven't. I mean, there's no argument that we haven't been a particularly good side. And to be blunt, apart from two players, Asawa and Ali, the minute we got rid of both of those players, we've been very, very, very basic. So the last couple of years during his tenure, bar the odd little bit of glitz in here, glitz and glamour, apart from Masao and Ali when they've been playing, looking for moves and stuff, we've been relatively average.
Sorry, mate. Sorry to cut you. Sorry.
No, go on. You cut me to ribbons.
I've told the players that they have two games to show they want to be part of what we're doing. If we miss out this season, we need to be putting together a squad that is capable of mixing it with the team fighting for all promotion spots and playoff places. With that in mind, the players have got to be on it every game. Progress to football club hugely this season, but we want to get promoted in this club back to League One. If it doesn't happen this season, it's going to happen next season. Got a group of lads who give everything, but sometimes that isn't enough. And someone said, is that a dig at Craig Cope because we put the player. I don't think it is. I think it's I think he's even just saying to the players now, they've got two games left. Do they want to be here next season? Which I'm hoping he's already knows what players he wants to keep. Like Pierce, for me, Brown hasn't done enough over the whole season to get a contract next year for me. I think we can do better on the wages that he's probably on. Younger as well. We need younger players. Do you know what I mean? And probably saying to like the John Jaro tools and things like that, look, I know he ain't played the last couple of weeks, but yeah, if you're going to be part of it. Yeah, so that was. What do you think on that?
I don't think it's a dig at Craig Cope at all. I think, to be honest, I don't know whether it's again. It's all of these smokes and mirrors and stuff. I don't know whether it's the players who have just basically run out of confidence, or they've been told to play in a particular way and they're just doing it because the reality is, Lee, we've done the same thing again and again and again, which to me kind of means that they've been training to do that kind of football. If they played in different ways, then you'd be like, okay, maybe they've just been told to do what they want to do. But we kind of have been quite formulaic in the way that we play. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I don't think Swindon were up to much. But the minute they got the ball, they just seemed infinitely more attack-minded, looked more aggressive, looked more productive. And we just looked... I think my biggest challenge is we don't put, in my opinion, quite as many crosses as I'd like to those guys, because we've played with wingers who want to come back inside. Like, you know, Tilly's constantly bringing inside now. I know he didn't particularly play a huge amount on Saturday, but I don't know. It has been a bit of a frustration. I do think we've got a squad that's capable. I still think that Johnny Jackson's got plenty of room to be better. That's for sure. But to say anything about Craig Cope when he's brought in some very, very useful additions, I think there's definitely we're gonna need to keep some sort of experience at our club, which means that I think we're gonna keep one of Pierce, Brown, or Pell, or O'Toole. I think we're gonna have to.
I'd take O'Toole over all of them.
I don't think they're going to chuck all of them. I think they're going to want to keep. If O'Toole's available.
I just don't see... Pierce can't stay, unfortunately.
I think Pierce would be too expensive.
Pierce is gone for me.
Unless he joins the coaching
staff. Brown's close for me because he's shown that he can be flexible now, that he can go centre-back. I thought he was okay left-back on Saturday. We're going to need a new left-back anyway because I can definitely see Curry going in the summer anyway. O'Toole for me would be the one. If we need the experience.
Well, he's versatile, isn't he? Which yeah, buys him.
Going, I thought he was wicked against... Who did he play centre midfield against recently?
But Paul.
No, it was at home. I thought it was a home game. I don't know. He was brilliant. I thought he was really good in midfield. Centre-back, I think he's shown we kept playing sheets when he was at centre-back. And yeah, he's the experience you need.
I mean,
Literally nothing for me now.
Well, we've barely seen him, have we?
And if you haven't seen him in the season, he's injury prone. Yeah, it wouldn't be one for me, to be fair. So
I think if Lee Brown was to stay, I think that's the end of Kalambayi and Nightingale,
Nightingale for me is finished anyway at Wimbledon, which is a shame.
They love him up there, don't they?
Yeah. Well, I just think he's injury prone. I also think that he just hasn't done it for us. And you look at the two players that we bought in, Johnson and Lewis, and they're miles ahead of him. Miles. Kalambayi for me is gone as well, I think. So, yeah, for me.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. He's just disappeared, hasn't he? Kalambayi. Where's he gone? There ain't been an update on him either. Is he okay?
Kalambayi, Billa. There's been a few guys who have just basically eradicated. But, it was a shame because at half time, with the results going kind of way, and we were in seventh, it was kind of like, well,
I've got
big. Could there just be a little chink in the armor?
It was quite funny because obviously I got a couple of digs. Obviously, I run the Twitter handle, and the club really wound me up on Saturday.
That's unlike them
because they put a tweet out saying levels or saying something about the levels are good.
Okay.
And they wasn't. They weren't very good. We were rubbish, and we had one shot on target again. And then I think a couple of people then went, oh, why are you being so negative? It's all about the points on the board. And I'm like, this is a long way to go. We're playing not very good, one shot. And then people are like, why are you so negative? I'm like, because we're playing really bad. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It ain't great. And as I said, the club, they tweet out some stupid stuff sometimes. And it really annoys me when they're tweeting up some stuff regards to there's levels and, you know what I mean? Just put the boys are digging in. Let's hope free. You know what I mean? It didn't have to be stupid tweet.
I mean, it was a shame.
I'm trying to find it now.
Even the commentators for when we were watching the game were dogged and, you know, the usual kind of stuff we've been for the last 10 years. Dogged, work hard, but just lack any kind of attacking fluency. I think that's probably the word. We're set piece dominant. It's crazy.
So they put, keep it up, lads. Great levels on show. They tweeted that we had 34% possession and one shot on target, which we scored with. That's not great levels for me. That's not good.
It depends on what its great levels are. If it's about working hard and determination,
it's still not great. We weren't. Someone put not allowed to be happy winning, are we? And I put, who said anything about not being happy? Winning performance isn't great levels though, and stuff like that. And then someone else went, and then someone else said I was salty. And as I said, as they said that, they scored their third goal and it was 3-1. But yeah, that annoyed me a little bit. And I just think sometimes the club need to stop tweeting absolute bollocks. But then people would say that about me.
Swindon were okay, nothing special.
I thought they were rubbish as well.
It's very, very similar to this league. It's sort of, it'll be part of the next segment as to whether it will be a good thing to be in League Two. But it is a shame because this has definitely been a missed opportunity of not necessarily going up as such, but being in that conversation. But what has been great, though, is still being at the other end of the table and not sitting there thinking, oh God, can we nick a point somewhere? This has been a nice... It's been a different experience. It's been a better experience. I'm probably more frustrated than I have been watching Wimbledon for a while. That's probably because we were spoilt and now we're back to where we probably are normally. So
I get your point because expectations were raised by how good we were playing. We had Ali scoring goals for fun. We thought, I think if we kept Ali, got maybe someone else in January, we probably could have got close to automatics, but probably would have finished comfortably in the playoffs, which shows that this squad is capable of. And that's why I think it's annoying. Since we lost Ali, we've totally changed the way we're playing football now, and we're just going long. It ain't even good long balls. It's just boot for fun. But yeah. Well, Danny, we'll move on. And when we come back, we'll speak about, is staying in League Two actually a good thing?
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
We're back and we're going to discuss, is it good that we are staying in League Two this year? Danny, what you wanted to discuss this, so what was your point of view on that?
Yeah, firstly, I think now I thought in my head where it's kind of done. It's been a positive season in a lot of different ways. And I actually, as I said before, I actually feel like we've definitely taken a very, very big stride further forward. I feel like had we gone up, I think we probably were not ready as a group, as a club, as a team yet to go up and make a decent fight of it. And then when you get relegated, you get asset stripped and we kind of go back a step. I feel like we need to organically grow. And I feel like maybe staying down this year, finishing 10th, with next year having a real go, will mean that we've had those players for a couple of years. And when we do get promoted, they're probably going to want to stay. You don't get loads of players wanting to go when you've been promoted. Most times people want to go when they drop down. And I just feel like with Cope and those sort of guys, his knowledge, from my understanding, is relatively lower level. I don't know how good he is as a scout higher up, personally. And I think that maybe his skill set is based lower, which means that we've got the opportunity to next year have a really, really strong squad, go up, keep them together, add little bits and pieces here to give us a better chance of staying up, because it is a different kettle of fish trying to stay in League One. So personally, now the dust has kind of settled in my head, I think it's actually better that we're not going up or trying to go up. We flirted with it. It's been great. I think we've kind of realised as a group that we've got football players who are sort of 80% decent, but we're just missing goals. And ultimately, if Kelly in his 15 games, whatever it is, scored 4, which is 1 in 4, which is a normal striker, what scoring in a season is 1 in 4 is 10 goal season. If he gets 1 in 4, I think we're in the playoffs. I think we turn the Crawley game into a draw. I think we turn one of the draws into a win, and that's us in. So I think, personally, I don't think it's a bad thing that we're staying down. And I think that it will give us the chance as a group to organically grow. But and also get rid of the deadwood. We kind of having a better team and staying there. Had we gone up, we would have just completely asset stripped loads. Our younger players, like Sasu, would definitely have not played in League One. So I feel like we get another year where we've got the Williamses, the Sasus, who can be slightly better, and then they can really kick on, because being a League One player and being a solid League One player is tough when you're coming from the youth.
Yeah,
that's me.
Yeah, the League One's a tough league. You look at Portsmouth in there, Boltons and stuff like that, and yeah, it's a very tough league, and I think you're right with that. I think you're right regarding, I think it's better that we are staying in League Two for us as a club. And I think you're right with growing organically. I think there's some players like Kai Jennings coming through and stuff will probably benefit from being in League Two. I'm not one of these people who think that we should stay there. If there was a chance of going up, I think we take it. I don't think you go, it's too soon. If we got third and stuff, then yeah, love it. Let's get in League One and we'll go from there and see what we can do. I did ask you if I think a year ago or a season ago, if we, when we were getting relegated from League One, if we become a yo-yo club, would you be happy with that? Because I think that's what happens to a lot of League Two teams. If you look at the bottom of League One now, I think, what is it? Cheltenham are down there, Cambridge are down there. They've all come. Port Vale are going down this year. Carlisle going back down again, which I didn't think Carlisle would. I thought they might stay up in League One. But look, you do become like a yo-yo club, which ain't the worst thing. Northampton, and I think Northampton staying up this year, they've kind of got that together now. I think you're right, though. I think we need to see what Craig Cope can do for another season. I can't remember what he said when he came in, how many transfer windows it would take. I think we also need to see what Johnny Jackson can do. But I do worry about us next year. If we do have Johnny Jackson in charge, will we get promoted? For me, with him as manager, it's a no. Because if he plays this style of football that we're playing right now, if we play the way we're playing and the philosophy we're playing, I can't see us going up with the way we're playing. You look at some of the teams up there, Stockport and stuff like that, they know how to mix it up. They can play big long balls and stuff and go long and play ugly, but they can also play football and beat you. And we've not done that in the last 4 or 5 weeks, which is a worry for me. But we have got some good youth team players coming in. We have got some, as you said, we said last year about, oh, where's this coal? We got rid of a few players, but this will be now the time when we look around and go, well, Davison, you've played 2 games all season, mate. You're under a contract for another year, but we're happy to let you go, kind of thing. We'll cut our losses.
I feel like this summer is a big one. I think there is a lot of players, and we'll talk about this, we talk about it regularly, but I think there's a lot to go this summer. I think we had, and again, it's difficult because every summer you lose players, and we understand that. But I think this year in particular, there's going to be some guys, some household names, some 5-6 years, the Zanevs, the Nightingales, the Cannonbys, the Billers, the Currys.
Robinsons.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
There's going to be a lot of guys who have been affiliated with our club for multiple years who are not going to be around. And there's players who have been on a few bob. And I think that we'll get more for our money lower down. I just feel that the league this year
was a tough league.
What, this year?
Yeah.
I think League Two's
tougher this year than last year, mate. Than next year, sorry. You've got to look at the teams like Wrexham.
What, tougher this year than next year?
Yeah.
I agree with that. But what I mean is, in general, take away Wrexham, who are going to go, Stockport, fine. Mansfield, I don't know, but
you also got, by the way,
it's a weaker league next year than it is this year. But I still don't think it's been a particularly strong league this year.
I think the automatic places were always going to be tough because of Wrexham, Stockport, Mansfield, the MK.
Yeah, you're always going to get a couple of lines.
But also, you've got teams like Crewe, who everyone tipped to be down in relegation, who flew at the start of the season, but they're
probably the same.
Look at Barrow. Barrow are flying and now they can't buy a win and literally are just hanging on by their fingernails into the playoffs. But I agree with you on that point. I just think next year, I'm looking at the league and people are going Chesterfield to go straight through. I'm not so sure. And I'm looking at it thinking, even the teams coming down, there's good. Fleetwood ain't going to be spending. I couldn't see Fleetwood doing a Forest Green and going straight through. I think they're struggling financially now that, their chairman's in
jail. They're not big teams, are they? They're not.
Port Vale will. They'll be in. I think they'll be in amongst it, but I can't see teams like. There's no Stockports for me. There's no Wrexham.
I don't see Cheltenham bolting through the league.
The Carlisle will do well again next year, though.
You think?
Yeah, because they're yo-yo club. They did well the year before they come down, and they were in amongst it. I know they kind of just they had players who just made the playoffs, and they went on a run. But Port Vale are always amongst it as well. Every time they're in League Two, they always do okay. That's what I mean. There's no real ones you think, oh, they're going to set this league.
Yeah, they're going to run away.
They're going to be teams that will be amongst it, but we on our day we should be able to beat.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm looking at the league below Chesterfield. I know they've spanked that league, but I'm not. They probably should be amongst it again next year, but I can't see them doing a flying one like Stockport have done. And then the teams below that, the Barnet, Gateshead's, Halifax, maybe Southend could even get in there. Do you know what I mean? Altrincham, Solihull. I'm not thinking, yeah, they're going to come up and fly either. So it's a weaker league next year. My thing for next year is we've got an okay spine at the moment with Lewis, Johnson, Reeves. Hopefully we'll get Little on a contract. Omar, Kelly. We'll need a keeper, which I think we'll get a decent one. We've got a decent spine. We just need to add more quality now. And our numbers, as you said, we are going to lose a lot of the fringe players, so to speak, the Nightingales, the Robinsons. How do we bring in new players? Do we get better loans? Do we bring in players from our youth team like the Kai Jennings? Does he now sit on our bench? Sutcliffe, does he come back and sit on our bench? It's a big season for Cope, I think, more than Jackson next year. Because Cope's got to bring these players in and some of them have got to fly straight. Look at Kelly, he hasn't. So if we sign a new striker, we're going to expect him to score goals straight away, because if we got Kelly, Omar and a new striker only scoring 10 goals a season, we're going to struggle. So,
no, I totally agree. I think it'll be an interesting year. I definitely think, money aside, I think this is probably it's a positive move to be in the top 10 from where we were. And then we've really got a strike next year in what would be a potentially weak league, knowing that the guys who have gone up are, in my opinion, I don't see Stockport coming down. I don't see Wrexham coming back down.
Wrexham are favourites to win the league next year.
I don't think Mansfield are going to be weak. And to be honest with you, I think if MK go up, I think they'd be all right. So I don't think it's going to be a weak. I think next year is the year to have a punt, because I think after that, I think you're going to then gain at least a couple of half decentish teams who are going to be. It's I think League One is quite
regular. That league happens like that though, League Two and League
One. Yeah, of course, it does.
I think it does. You see, there's a couple. You get a couple of years where it's mediocre, and then you'll get a team like Wrexham coming up or like one going down. So yeah, I think you're right with that. So I think we both agree. I think most people probably will. That it is better staying in League Two this year. And as I said, we have got some exciting young players coming through the youth. Kai Jennings is one that everyone, I think he's signing a new contract. I think the keeper thing will be big next year. Do we try, Alex Bass is 1 year left on his deal at Sunderland. Do we try and sign him permanently? I know he's loving it here, but I think a possible loan move might be, see if we can get him on loan again for a season. That'd be good. But I think we do okay with our goalkeepers. And I think keepers and teams looking at us must be thinking their keepers always go on and do well. You know what I mean? We've said this before, even the Kelly Roos, even Nathan Trott's playing in France and stuff at a decent level.
We are an attractive proposition.
Especially at goalkeeping wise. Yeah, I agree. So Craig Cope's got a massive season ahead of him. Do I think he'll do well? Yeah, I do actually. I think he's done well this year and we'll mark him anyway soon. So, right, we'll move on. Unless you want to say anything else, Danny, sorry.
No. Let's get awarding the hell out of it.
Right, we'll move on and we'll give out the WOD Awards.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
We're back and we're going to be doing the WOD Awards. Unfortunately, none of the players could join us tonight to pick up these awards. But yeah. I think
what would be our gift to the winners, Lee? Would we have like a little trophy to think? Medal, handshake,
I like old school trophy, the player.
Yeah, nice. You know,
the player. I hate the shield or the medal. It's got to be the old.
I think I'd love to have had like one of them little trophies.
The problem, you can't move.
Do you remember the old MTV one? It'd have like WHJD, and then they'd have like yeah. Springy World on it. Have something completely ridiculous.
Can't move in my house with football trophies.
The man, I have to get work experience Joe to sort it out.
He'll work experience. Right. Sorry, I'm just trying to bring up what we're... Right, so should we just go straight in?
Let's just do it, mate.
With
so I'll tell you what, player of the year is the first one, I imagine. That is solid.
Who you got?
That...
Well, I don't think it's as solid as you think. I think it's between two players. I think it would have been between three players. The third one would have been Joe Lewis for me, but Joe Lewis got injured. So yeah. I can't have him as player of the year for the whole season. I think he would have been if he hadn't got injured.
So you're basically probably going, what, Jake
Johnson
Reeves
would have, Johnson would have been up there as well. Jake Reeves is nowhere near my player of the year either.
Boogiel?
Nowhere near my player of the year.
God, who have you got then?
Mine would have been Ali Al Hamadi.
Yeah.
Because of his goals, I think.
Yeah.
I know we lose him in January, but for the months that he was here, he was excellent. And some of his goals were excellent and stuff. But for a whole season, I think there's only one player who can be player of the year, and that's Jack Curry. Consistently seven out of 10 every week. I think he's had, what, one or two bad games? And every time he has one bad game, everyone notices it because he is so good. He's set that level, levels of the game. And I think he would be my player of the year. So Alex Bass would be up there, to be fair, for the amount of clean sheets. You put the mockers on him last week, saying how good he was, and then he goes and throws one in. Well done, Danny.
I'm finding it hard to disagree for me. But for me, it's a really tough one because there've been periods of time like Jake Reeves has totally dominated the game,
but he's
and
been
then
awful.
Boogie has been fantastic in my opinion. The last, well, since Ali's gone, Ali was so good. But can you give a player of the year when he only plays up to January?
That's the only reason. Do you think it's a weird one that the club didn't include him in their player of the year?
No, they know what the deal is. They're not.
I think it's quite bad.
I think I would go with young player of the year would have been Jack Curry, hands down.
He gets both for me.
He gets both.
Because the young player of the year award, I'm just trying to think who else is there. Ogun Deer ain't done enough.
Nerfield, how young is he?
Nerfield's not. No, he's not really
honourable
young
mention for Ogun Deer, I think.
Yeah, an honourable mention,
I think he's done all right. I mean, yeah, apart from that.
Kai Jennings probably gets it if you're looking at the youth team, but I don't know enough about how he's done. No. For me, Jack Curry wins player of the year.
Curry's a no-brainer. Player. And for me, player of the year would be Boogiel.
He went off to Lebanon for a month.
Curry had injuries and was out.
He scored 10 goals all season. For me, it's
but we know that's not his role in our team is to be our leading goal scorer. He is now. That's not the way that he has been set up to play. And yeah, I think that the way that he
I
is
think you're just
not
going to give Jack
played,
Curry two awards.
No, I'm happy to do it because I don't think there's any argument he's been good. I think that whenever Jack Curry has been, I always feel like every time we've been talking about, I think he's brilliant, Jack Curry. But there's always been a player who I think has been slightly more important than him. It was Joe Lewis, you're right. Then we had, it was Ali Al-Mohammadi with Joe Lewis and Jake Reeves. They were kind of playing about a bit. Then Joe got injured and then Ali's kind of left and Omar's kind of stepped in. But I think across the whole year, just for impact on the team, I would say Boogie will score some pretty big goals. He's done a lot of donkey work. And to be fair to him, that injury, Jack Curry's out for a month. His wrist injury, Omar Boogiel's. I mean, that is
playing with
quite
his
something.
Wrist injury all season.
And the fact that, you know, he was, you know, not necessarily
to be fair, the first...
heavily involved in international football. He's gone, he's played, he's worked hard, he's flown back straight away, tries to get into squads.
Bless.
I think I'm going for Boogiel.
Oh, bless a professional footballer flying back straight away, going to work. God.
Can happen, mate. You're not going to be working next day after.
Try to get up at half four in the morning. Do you know what I mean? Every day of the week.
I'm up at 4:15.
But it's a weird one, the player of the year, because for the first 6 months up till January,
it was
Jake
a no-brainer,
Reed,
really.
Bass,
we, were
Lewis,
caught, we had that debate, and it was...
You could have had five or six players up there, but I just don't think Reeves has been consistent enough for me to win it. Little was up there as well up till January, then he's just...
Yeah, he was.
Clear for me.
Yeah, them two fell off the cliff.
But yeah, unfortunately for me, Lewis was up there. But for me, Jack Curry wins my player of the year, and he also wins my young player of the year.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go Bougiel and Curry. But as it's your podcast, obviously it's the guest.
It's not my podcast. It's everyone's podcast.
Of course it is. But the everyone fans. Else is going to say Curry.
But everyone will go Curry. Right, moment of the year. I think this is an easy one.
Yeah. Obviously, the Salford sendings off.
What, the manager having a busy bit of the game?
No, the Curtis goal is just.
Yeah.
In terms of the way we've been watching football, that is probably in my top five best.
If you, I said to everyone,
individual moments.
I said to everyone after the game and said, I said, if you're writing a script as an AFC Wimbledon fan, that's how you write that script.
Yeah, definitely.
Me on my back on a stairwell. Just on cloud nine. Don't care if my ribs are getting broken by some big fat geezer come tumbling down after. I just thought, yeah, that's the moment of the year. The way the goal went, Mikey T's commentary, if done it. You know what I mean?
The way that, what's his name? Salty bloke. Who's the bloke?
Oh, Gilby.
Gilby.
Cried. Yeah, the whole thing about it. You know what I mean?
Excellent.
And it was a good day and stuff. And hopefully they do. It sounds mad to say hopefully they go up, because I hate playing them.
I hope they go up. I've got no interest.
Because I've got no interest in playing them, but that moment will live with me forever. I think people have watched that goal tens of thousands of times. Do you know what I mean? It was such, and it's just the way it went. What was Brown doing at left wing?
Don't know, but
miss kicks it. It touches their player, which puts it right in the path. And it was just, the debrief on the Sunday was one of my most enjoyable debriefs, one of the most watched, most listened to debriefs as well. But it was just wicked because everyone was just buzzing. Everyone was on the same page. And that's what I love. That is one of the things I love about that game, is everyone, except for the club, obviously, but every fan and stuff are on the same page regarding how we hate them. And
that's brilliant.
I think that was an easy one. Yeah, Danny?
Absolutely.
Best signing.
Well, it'd be very, very hard.
You've got to go Omar Bugle. If you're playing player of the year, you've got to
go away from that. So, Bugle. I guess he's got to him. But we've had some good signings. I mean,
Alex Bass. It's between Alex Bass and Joe Lewis for me.
I mean, to be honest with you, in terms of a lot of the signings,
but then Johnson's been class as well.
Johnson's been good. Bass has been good. Lewis has been good. Boogie's been good. What's it? Curtis has been
Nerfield.
Decent.
Good.
Him and
good.
Tilly are okay now, but they've shown signs. I don't think we've had a huge number of players. To be honest, the worst signing at the moment is Kelly, who's blunt. From my perspective,
well, I was going to say a lot of people I think will be saying, but for me, I think it's between Alex Bass and Joe Lewis. Omar, he's been good, but for me, Bass has been. I know we talked about this last week. He ain't made any worldie saves. He's made one mistake now for you because of you. Is that one mistake at Swindon? Chelsea don't count because he won in the league.
Well,
so.
Say that.
But we've kept the most clean sheets in the league, I think, other than Stockport goalkeeper. I think, you know what I mean? They've gone up as champions. If we could sort out our goal scoring, we could have been higher up in the league. For me, Bass and Lewis have been brilliant. Lewis, we went out in January to get him. I think we possibly would have been higher up the league if he had stayed fit as well.
Agreed.
So for me, I think them two, I think it's going to be a joint best signing for me. And it's Lewis, maybe triple, because Johnson, I love Johnson as well. It's a tough one.
I think Lewis is above Johnson.
Yeah, I think he's just
the goal.
And the fact that he wears them shorts as well.
Yeah.
I'm hoping everyone that's going Saturday, Tranmere, are wearing short shorts in honour. I know it's meant to be cold, but wear short shorts in honour. But I think you're right, Joe Lewis, Alex Bass is only a loan signing as well, so he probably loses marks for just being a loanee, and he'll probably piss off and go up the league anyway. But yeah, Joe Lewis for me. Best signing, what are you saying?
Omar Bugle.
That's wrong. So
I can't pick the player of the year and not pick the best signing.
Football.
But Lewis has been. I think bizarrely, I think he's been the best signing. But in terms of keeping Lewis as a permanent and Bugle with a new contract, what's more important for me is Lewis.
And football is all about opinions. And that one's
always said that.
And that one's incorrect. Worst signing. I've got one that ain't going to go down very well with people.
Oh God.
Who's yours worst signing? You're going to say Kelly at the moment.
No, I'm going to say Nerfil.
Really? I like Nerfil.
No.
I get what you mean because he's meant to be attacking winger.
He's.
But how many goals has he got this season? One?
I just think he's very vanilla. I just think he's very, very...
I like
5
him.
Out of 10, 6 out of 10. There's no great shakes. He works hard. There's no doubt he runs hard, but we bought him as a winger. He's now, in my opinion, a wing-back who doesn't offer much attacking threat, but he'll work hard. He's in many ways kind of the problem of our team at the minute. We've gone from an aggressive forward, let's go and score goals, to, yeah, let's just defend really well.
Workman-like team, aren't we?
Yeah, again, I can't knock him for his effort.
I kind of get you. I really like him. I like him as a kid. I like his mum. I know we're not judging it on that.
All right, mate, chill out.
Yeah. But I like his work rate. I like how hard working he is. But if he came as an attacking winger and again, when we were in Benidorm, he scored a worldie of a goal and everyone was like, oh, we could have one here. He scored one goal, I think. We've got one assist all season, which is poor stats for
I think his output's been...
My one's going to shock a lot of people because at the start of the season, he was flying and he was unbelievable.
You say James Tilly, who's our second top goal
James
scorer,
Tilly.
You are an absolute fool.
James Tilly has dropped off a cliff since... Ramsgate in the cup.
You can't. Probably. You cannot.
What he's got 10 goals in our first 10 games, and then
yeah,
hasn't done anything
since.
You can't
say the worst signing is James Tilly when he's.
Tell me he's been good then. When's
10
the
goals
last time,
and our...
When's the last time you give him 7?
Who?
When's the
Forget
last time
that.
You...
He scored 10 goals in the league.
In
Kelly's
the first 12
games,
games.
And done nothing.
First
12 zero.
Games. First 12 games.
You cannot tell me that Tilly scored 10 goals and he is
the
worst signing. Then Kelly, who scored 0 in 14.
But Kelly, we're playing. If Kelly had been with Ali, we'd score goals.
I think you, sir, are an ostrich.
I like again. Tilly, it's very vanilla again. When's the last?
Tell me the last time he had a good game.
Well,
tell me when Kelly's been absolutely brilliant at scoring goals. Yeah,
Kelly,
he?
I'm not really judging Kelly coming in January.
Well,
he's
you're
been
not judging
playing
him because
an awful team because of an awful
anti,
tactics by our manager.
Because of your anti-Tilly ways. I've told
no,
you about
I'm not
this.
Anti-Tilly. I just don't.
You are very anti-Tilly.
He scored 10 goals in our first 12 games, and then since then he's done F all. Literally
he
nothing. Tell
done...
me the last time he had a good game. A good game.
Hey, you should see him in training.
Tell. I don't worry, Chris Walker put another training video up with him.
He will do.
Doing a rondo.
I feel like, yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, like I said, from a whole season, I think he's had an okay season. He's out. But again, this is where stats is rubbish. His output is actually pretty good.
Yeah,
his performances since
but it's not.
October
since what?
Have
August.
Been pony. If you said at the start of the season, we bought James Tilly as a winger. He scored 10 goals. Forget everything else. You're going, yeah, all right.
What about if I told you that his last goal was in September?
Who?
James Tilly.
Yeah, but if you at the beginning
sorry,
of the season...
Sorry, I told you we signed a winger and he hasn't scored since September.
If I told you we had a club record signing centre-forward who hasn't looked like
who
scoring...
Who hasn't settled
who's
yet,
had three shots
who hasn't
goal
settled
in 15 games...
Hasn't had a pre-season.
You're telling me he is a better signing than
but
a
you
guy
you just
who
said Nerfield. Why
goals?
Are you slagging Kelly off? Because you know I'm a big fan of him. You're trying to get me. You're trying to get a rise out
no,
of me.
No, you're having a go at Tilly. All I'm saying is,
I'm not having a go at Tilly. He's our worst signing.
Listen, you're telling off Tilly. I'm not having it.
He hasn't
Tilly
scored a goal since.
A,
he hasn't scored a league
signing.
Goal since September. Someone probably.
You're picking Nerfield over him.
I'm not picking him over.
You are. You're saying that Tilly is worse than Nerfield.
I'm not.
You have to because they're both signings of the year. So you said worst signing. You've said Tilly over Nerfield.
I just
stop
think
looking
Tilly,
around and
Tilly's
the
been.
Question.
No, I think my takeaway's here. So I was just texting my missus to say.
Hold on, whoa. What are you getting?
Pizza.
What kind of pizza?
Fireway. Margarita.
All right.
When you order a pizza, you should not order toppings on a pizza.
You just order a load of James Tilly's.
No, you order a Chili's. Margarita because otherwise...
James Tilly's Chili's.
No, because the reason why is you're ordering toppings on it, you're losing the actual flavour and the taste of the actual pizza.
Oh, get over yourself, Egon Rona.
One bite, everyone knows the rules.
If you had to have, like, soppings, like Cockney rhyming slang, like James Tilly's a Chili's, do we have any others? Like Jake Reeves anchovies?
you only wanted to say that. No. Anyway, we've got... because we're waffling on again. I've totally gone off subject now. Right, James Tilly is the worst signing at ASU.
Incorrect.
You can pick it's all about opinions, and yours is incorrect.
Yours is wrong.
Right, you wanted to go with what was the next one? Sorry, the biggest disappointment of the season. I know the biggest one.
Go on, then. You go off. Yeah,
Ipswich Town absolutely killing our season and playing Ali in about an hour's of football since. Absolute joke. I also don't think we needed to sell Ali when we did. I think if we had kept him, he would have scored more goals. I think we would have probably made the playoffs easily, which would have hopefully raised his profile, because if we get to the playoff final at Wembley, he's on TV, we sell him for more, we have a bidding war. Hopefully that would be the case. I know if Ipswich get promoted, we make about 800 grand out of it. So let's all cheer on Ipswich. When I don't really care, because I don't care about Ipswich. They're a blooming stupid farmer team. And they ruined our season by taking Ali when they did. And we shouldn't have sold him. But that's the biggest disappointment for me this season.
You sure that was it?
Well, the club have annoyed me in many, many ways. I'm talking about just player-wise. The club really annoys me still. Because
I think there's been quite a few stupid things. Disappointments for me. The demise of Hasbulla has been hugely disappointing.
Yeah,
because I absolutely love the bloke. I talk about every week. I have no idea where he's gone.
The problem I've got with it, but Danny, he's still there. You see him in the videos. He went to Swindon, but just wasn't in the squad.
I just don't get how the bloke can't play. I think
we're playing Bournemouth right back and he can't play right back. And we use him just to do long throws.
I think the lack of goals or threat of Kelly has been very, very disappointing.
Why are you digging Kelly out again?
Listen, I'm being honest. In January, we got rid of Ali. Everyone was going on about Kelly. You said, we're not going to get him, we're not going to get him, we're not going to get him, we're going to get everybody else, but... And then all of a sudden, he lands.
No,
we get excited. We think we're probably at that time just about playoffs. We think, oh my God, this is it. We're going to be flying. And the bloke just never got out of the traps.
Yeah, but...
Not for whatever fault. Whatever fault. I'm not blaming him.
But everyone was buzzing for Kelly.
It could be, yeah, exactly. And all of us are a bit disappointed that he hasn't got a single.
He barely
had a shot on
that. That would have been my biggest disappointment, though. That I'm disappointed that he hasn't scored. And I'm more disappointed for him just to shut the people up like you who can't wait to jump on people's backs. And everyone's going to go, that's a bit
jumping.
Rich for you, because I do it all the time.
All I'm saying
is, trying to remain positive this year.
Listen, you're not you at that. Well, you need to wind your neck in, because you're. If this is your
I try and remain positive. You know what the biggest disappointment is? Our club sometimes.
No, I'll tell you what is disappointing. You, as a grown man, not putting a single topping on a pizza. That is childlike.
Can't do it. It negates from the flavour of the actual pizza.
Negates or negates?
Negates, that's it.
Thank you. Not
negates. Go on in. What's your biggest disappointment then?
It has to be Ali. The Milton Keynes away game was a really, really bad one.
Yeah, but I let him off because
that was terrible.
We righted a wrong a month or whatever it is later.
So I think the Ali thing, unfortunately, has to be in it. I personally think we should have sold him, because I think at the time we could have got the replacement. I think had we not sold him, we may not have got... I just feel
We may not have got Josh Kelly and scored a goal in 14 games.
I think we would have got... Listen, I'm not exactly.
So you're telling me
enamored
that you
Kelly,
would have sold Ali because in case we get
we won't we would not have got the right the replacement that Carrie Cope wanted. We're not getting him in the summer, but what we were doing is the guy that he wanted. We've got, which is what was important at the time.
You would have sold Ali still because you knew we were getting Josh Kelly. Wouldn't score.
I would have sold Ali because I don't think Ali was.
Selling a prolific League Two footballer. We're chasing playoffs to get then a non-prolific non-league striker.
The reason why I'm selling him.
Who had scored 13 goals in the conference this season?
We're going to, by the way. If we get promoted, it won't be 1.8, it will be 2.5 going up. At the end of the year, are we generally saying that A, Ipswich are going to come back in? No, they're going to go somewhere else. So the reality is,
if we had
would
won
have
the playoff
sold
final
him
and got into League One, we could have sold Ali for 5 mil.
No way.
Easy.
No.
Easy money.
So it's not Ollie Watkins.
No,
I'm not going to sell him for that.
Better than Ollie Watkins.
We would have got close to, but I don't think we'd have got 2.5. And I think that if he was desperately wanting to not play, and if the rumours are true about the agent and pressing his agenda, I just think taking the money, him going to Ipswich, playing well, look in the future where we're thinking, right, we get
playing well. We've got to start games to play well for Ipswich. Playing 10 minutes here and there.
They are top. he is in the squad. He scored the most goals off the bench in the whole of the championship this year. I mean, that's outrageous behaviour. That is a stat.
Come on. Right, so you're same as me. You're back at Ali, yeah?
Yeah, I'm basically back in the year.
Right, cool. Were you the one key lesson learned from this year?
Yeah,
that you want to take into next year, innit?
So it just for me, it's just what's the one defining lesson that we've kind of that we as a club, or we as fans, or we as a team need to kind of to learn to move forward. If that makes sense, like the overriding thing, and I guess so to give you some ideas on that is around the importance of our journey, both to us as individuals. The whole MK thing, right, was all about the journey that we've been on, them, the community aspect of it. I think, personally, the one thing I'd love us to do is, as a fan base, be better at home. I don't think we're great at home. I think we, as a fan base, that's probably, since we've been at Plough Lane, the biggest disappointment is Plough Lane is not a citadel. It's not a fortress. People don't come to Plough Lane and go,
we're a tourist club, though, Danny.
Well, maybe, but I think that's the one thing I'd love us to try to do. That's out of nothing out of effort, but we don't create the energy and the drive and the rah at home. Away, I think we're brilliant away. Love going to away games. It's noisy, it's loud, it's passionate. But
it's always
going
to be that case.
But it doesn't have to be that case.
No, it doesn't have to be. It's all. Most teams are the same. Most teams, they're away
but
fans.
But the atmosphere at Kings
Meadow, because
they've
been out early, they're on the drink. They're,
the atmosphere at Kings Meadow in a smaller ground, in my opinion, since I've been watching Wimbledon, maybe it's because of where I stand, the atmosphere was better at times at Kings Meadow than it's been at
agreed
at Plough Lane.
Agreed.
And I think that's the thing for me is, and it is a new stadium thing, trying to find out maybe we need a song like Arsenal that kind of gets everyone in.
You also, as you said before, you've also got people trying to find their way of where they want to go. Like Ollie Lewis, we know he's moved his seats, I think, now, or he's in the south stand to be amongst it. You'll get more on people doing that. And I think Plough Lane, you've got to remember, we've been there, what, three seasons now since fans have been back in?
We've had one League One and we've had two League Twos, yeah.
Yeah, so that's only, what, three seasons
with
fans.
This is coming up to
four seasons, but three seasons with fans.
Yeah.
It takes time, and the club is still doing it. My lesson to be learned is more off the field than on the field, and that we've got to start being better with the comms. So we never learn our lesson regarding comms.
Yeah.
And I think we need to do that massively for next season. Look at the MD event the other day. 30 people went to it. We've not had anything since that event put on social media, online. Just thanks for people that turned up. It was a good event. Someone that works within the club, that works at Don's TV, said, I hope we have more of this stuff than the official club stuff. I just think some people within the club need to drop their egos and actually get stuff out. We do not big up games enough. We don't we're meant to be chasing the playoffs and there's nothing. Do you know what I mean? We've got Johnny Jack said we're going to go out and attack teams and then that's it. We don't hear anything else. There's no player interviews. It's like we have to do things a certain way. So we have to put things on there. We've got too many channels within the club, the official podcast, Don's TV, our own, like Chris Fort, what's his name? Rob Cannell. Do you know what I mean? There seems like there's too many cooks doing everything. So it kind of gets watered down. The content gets watered down, in my opinion. Again, they do a great job and I appreciate what they do and it's hard. But there's just too many cooks, in my opinion. So like the other day, who we were playing, like Stockport and stuff in a massive game, there was no build-ups. Do you know what I mean? And we complained massively about Milton Keynes and someone come up to me the other day, I think it was like Notts County, and thanked us and said, look, thanks to your podcast for putting out content every day and giving everyone a lift and getting everyone going. Because that day, not because of us, but some of the stuff we sent out just got everyone going. The club have got to be better. And I think that's the lesson we learned from Milton Keynes, is that we can do it. We can get everyone lifted. We can make the atmosphere a bit and get everyone rallied and get everyone frothing at the mouth for a game. And I don't think we do it enough, Danny. As I said, we're meant to be going for the playoffs and it's vanilla.
Yeah.
I mean, and that then goes on to the players who are then vanilla. And as I said, I ain't digging people out, and I know I've mentioned names there, but I just think we've got too many. Like the official podcast, they ain't put one out in 8 weeks. Do you know what I mean? It was meant to be a fortnightly podcast. Do you know what I mean? And why do we need the official podcast? Why do we need Don's TV if we've got ASC Wimbledon channel? Get the content out. Good, solid content. Get everyone rallied. Get everyone rival. We've got loads now of good vloggers and podcasts and people doing that kind of stuff. I love the Real Don's TV. They offer something different. Don's blogs, Don's on tour. Reese is doing a good job. Do you know what I mean? And they get people going, and that's what people want. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think the club need to do better stuff with that. As I said, the MD event, I found out things from Ollie, and I can't bring up this about what happened, about what's going to go forward. I shouldn't be finding out from another fan. We should be finding out from the club what the MD said, what the questions were, what the answers were. It should have been streamed. If it can't be streamed, get a thing out saying this is what was asked, this is what answered. As I said, 30 people in a room seem to be more important than the actual 8,000 fan base that we now have.
Yeah,
and that is a lesson I think that we've learned, and one key lesson we've learned this year again, comms and everything. We say it every year, Danny, but yeah, hopefully it'd be next year it'd be better.
Well, that was emotional.
Sorry for the...
Nice to see there, you getting dressed up for the awards night.
Yeah, I've got my bow tie on.
So that's all you got on by the looks of it.
Well, it's like Frank Butcher, isn't it? Frank Butcher from EastEnders. Right, we'll move on. Thanks for the awards. Pizza, yeah. Oh, yeah, the award for best WOD member. And thanks for
Joe Moja. It can't be asked to.
Yeah, Joe Moja, to be fair.
Moggy, he's the absolute G.
He saves us massively with some of the graphics and stuff. And he did get us in trouble this season, though. He got us banned from talking to members of the club, didn't he?
No!
Yeah.
Well, he's bringing the podcast in.
But he is class, and he can keep doing it because he's a good lad, Joe.
We're both getting a York.
Appreciate your work, Joe. Right, we'll move on. When we come back, we'll discuss Tranmere on Saturday.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
We're back, and we're going to be doing a short preview on the game on Saturday away to Tranmere. Pretty much a nothing game now, isn't it, Danny? I know we can still mathematically still qualify for playoffs, but
I think the reality is he's not going to rotate anything. I think the season's pretty much there, but the rhetoric around, well, we still got half a chance. He's going to have to just play what he perceives as his best team. Personally, I'd like us to play a proper right back rather than Barmer. I think Barmer at right back is just not the way to go. I'd even go as far. I would like us to go back to play a slightly different version of the three. I'd like us to play a 3-4-3, and I'd like us to have Barmer, Lewis, Johnson as a three. If Curry's available, Curry on as a like a left of the four. I personally would like to see Biller. Not going to see him. But if he's not around, then it'll be Nurfield or Tilly, either or. They're both equal, in my opinion. And then you've got Reeves and Little. And then I'd like Kelly to play deeper to try something different. And I'd play Boogie all nice and high with either Davison or Curtis. Curtis is probably better at being in the number 10.
Curtis is back, isn't he?
Curtis is back.
So you're dropping Kelly?
I'm not dropping Kelly. I'm playing Kelly as a 10, or I'm playing Kelly up right at the top with Boogiel. I'm not going to drop Kelly. Kelly has to play for the rest of the season. That's what I'd like her to do, but I think we're just going to play exactly what we're playing.
Yeah, I like to.
And then we'll kind of basically, it'll be Kelly and Boogiel in what we've been doing previously. And to be honest with you, the only thing I'd like to see is Kelly to score. Apart from that, the result is irrelevant. I think we're kind of done as it is. Yes, we'd like to win, but I want Kelly to score.
I'd like to see us go with something that we're going to do next year on the pitch. I want us to, you know what I mean?
Maybe that's what we've been having.
Maybe
Jackson decided.
But I'm with you.
I
think we go back to the 3-4-3, so to speak. I'd go Ballmer, Lewis, Johnson.
Yeah.
Curry. I'd like to see Biller or Ogundia come back in.
Yeah.
He won. Club player of the year, Ogundia. Can't get in our team at the moment, but he's been put up from the award, which is a mad award, in my opinion. And then, yeah, the four. What's the, no, that is the four, isn't it? And then, yeah,
that's
Little,
five.
Little and Reeves.
And you're going to play Little and Reeves.
Little and Reeves, and then Kelly, Curtis, Boogie and Bugle.
That's basically the exact same team that I'd like.
Yeah, I think so.
And it'd be good to have the two sitting, and then you're basically saying, us back five, you top the two wingers, go, just get up, get moving. You three at the top, you five attack, us five will kind of defend, and we'll go from there. And that would be something I'd like to see. I would have loved to have seen Williams, seen Jennings.
Well, Williams is injured still, I think, at the moment.
Is he still injured?
Jennings, I'm not sure. I wouldn't mind seeing Jennings on the bench. If I'm hoping that he already has kind of an idea who he wants to keep next year.
Yeah.
And if they're not involved on Saturday, I'd like to see it. But then he might want to bring the Pels back in to say a kind of farewell to the women.
No,
fans.
I think that stuff's rubbish. They shouldn't bother doing that. But you're right. Again, it's hard. And like I said, I understand completely where people are like, well, no, there's plenty of shouts to do it. But I just think Doncaster, Crawley, Gillingham, Harrogate, I think there's just too many teams with the games in hand and the momentum than us.
Yeah, and I don't think we win on Saturday. So
I think we'll be 1-1, and I think we'll just.
Yeah.
I think we'll.
I'm agreeing with you on that.
Out, unfortunately,
that's what I was going
like
for.
As I said, the only thing I'd love to see, like I said, is it'd be great to get Kelly off the mark and give him some sort of confidence. Because, like we said before, I don't think he's played particularly as well. I think people think he's been playing well. I don't think so, but I don't think he's a bad football player. So I feel like for next year, it'd be great if the last two games you got a couple of goals, and then rather than it being 16-0, it was 16-2, and all of a sudden he's got a bit of something to work with. Yeah, but apart from that,
I think one thing I'd like to see is Kelly get a goal over the next two games. But yeah, I'm just hoping that we go there and we can show a bit more than we've been showing lately. Like, I don't want to see long ball hoof football. I want to see us attack, bring the ball down, play it on feet, play it behind. But yeah, not just hoof it for the sake of hoofing it.
That would be lovely.
Again, I'm not really bothered about the result. I'd like to see us mix it. I would like to see Kai Jennings and things like that on the bench and stuff, but I don't think he will.
No, I think we're going to go very formulaic. And
yeah.
I think, like I said, if we do play on Saturday, and it is just a question of, because even before we were talking about we've got to win, we really got to have any kind of shot. We've got to go out and attack tomorrow, Saturday. Got to attack both week. We've got to win both games, have any kind of sniff.
Yeah.
So you feel like you want to chuck it all out there. We've got the credit in the bank for some of the other games, so we're not going to finish 15th. So absolutely chuck it in my opinion.
And if anyone is going, please wear short shorts for Joe Lewis. That'd be quite funny, I think. Yeah, but it might be cold on Saturday. But that's about it from us tonight. Not really much to preview, really, because it's a bit of a dead rubber now, isn't it? In my opinion, the game. But hopefully the boys can put a performance in, and the travelling fans will be leaving Merseyside happy. Again, thanks to Gary Fletcher and the boys at Season Master for sponsoring this season's podcast. Do appreciate all the support them boys have given us this year. Danny, thanks to you. I'm off now. I'm off to eat my pizza. I'm off to pack my bag, and I'm off to get very drunk in Germany this weekend.
What time is your flight tomorrow?
9:00. Well, this is the one. Yeah, this is the one we done, right? We used to go two nights. We used to go Saturday morning really early.
Yeah.
Right? Like 5-6 o'clock city time in the morning. And we were saying, when we get back to our wives, we'd say, oh, the Sunday we were knackered. Do you know what I mean? So next year, we're thinking about going on a Friday, but we won't go until late. Like, we'll get a later Friday, some late afternoon, get out there, have a few beers, relax. But at least we wake up in the city we're staying in and we'll be refreshed. And then, yeah, we're getting like 9:00. I've got to be up at 5:30 in the morning. And the wife, yeah, she's not happy. But when she's married to someone like me, she won the lottery, mate.
Big time. I mean, there aren't many, you know, podcast hosts who refuse to have a topping on a pizza.
That's true. And a crackhead said I was handsome today. So that was quite nice of her. No, she had about five teeth. But yeah, right. She said I was a handsome young man.
Oh, that's lovely. Oh, nice. That is really warm the cockles.
Right, that's it from us. See you next week. Come on, you dons.
Come on, you dons.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.